Just Jesus. This is Kathleen Pearl. I just want Jesus. I just need Jesus. And you just need Jesus. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What? You mean the serpent deceived Eve by craft? He was subtler than the others, and it's our minds that become corrupted from simplicity of Christ? And the simplicity of Christ is a heart devotion to the Spirit of love, to the Holy Spirit that points to Jesus, Yeshua, and that love is embodied in the truth, the way of truth, the righteousness, and the door and the gates to everlasting life. This gospel, let's see, what is this? It says in Galatians, that was King James versions, by the way. This is Stearns. In Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 6, I am astounded that you are so quick to remove yourselves from me, the one who called you by the Messiah's peace and grace, excuse me, and turn to some other supposedly good news, which is not good news at all. What is really happening is that certain people are pestering you and trying to pervert the genuine good news of the Messiah. But even if we, or for that matter, an angel from heaven, were to announce to you some so-called good news, contrary to the good news we did announce to you, let him be under a curse forever. We said it before and I say it again. If anyone announces good news contrary to what you have received, let him be a curse forever. That is very straightforward. Let's continue with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start at verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. How is this unity by the Spirit? No divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Same mind. What mind is that? The mind of Christ? The judgment? The judgment the Holy Spirit comes to convict of. What? Sin, righteousness, and the coming judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brothers, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Contentions? Now I say this, that each of you says, oh, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ, or I am of the house of prayer, or Bethel, or whatever. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I have baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanus. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach. What did Christ send Paul to do? But to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Wait, what? Whoa. But to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. You mean there are certain words that can annul the cross of Christ, making it ineffectual? This is what this verse implies. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to those who believed. All right, here he says, this worldly version does not bring the message. And the message, okay, is foolishness to the world's wisdom. For Jews require a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So woe to him who preaches anything but Christ crucified. For you see your calling, brothers, that not many wise according to the flesh and many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to the shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, that is, by the world, that's my addition there, God has chosen those things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, these are qualifiers for what the gospel looks like when it's preached. If you're walking in worldliness and worldly wisdom, it's going to be offensive to you, the gospel, because no one's going to glory in the presence. It's about humility. Your pride is going to be asked. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brothers, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's not preaching any other gospel except for the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the gospel. Why, Kathleen, are you suggesting that there are a lot of gospels out there that are not the gospel of Jesus Christ? Indeed, I am. And in fact, most of what is being preached and taught among, quote, Christendom is not the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is another gospel. But just give me Jesus. That's all I want. I just want Jesus. I just want simplicity. I don't want to be bewitched and deceiving. I mean, there's a lot of bewitching and deceiving going on. I mean, probably most of what's being taught and preached is bewitchment and deception. If you hear a message, we'll just take the, let's talk about the doctrine of prosperity, the word of faith that's rampant. That's all they preach, and that's every message, and it all centers around them. And we could go down the list, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, we could go down the list. Yes, of course God wants us to prosper, keep covenant, but it's out of balance, and heresy is truth, out of balance. And what happened? How does Eve get deceived? Oh, listen, did God really say that, oh, we shouldn't eat that fruit? You mean God would forbid you from eating the fruit of prosperity? Lest we, you know, have knowledge of good and evil. Lest we die. Oh, you won't die. God didn't mean that. He said you would be like God and your eyes would be open. Your eyes would be open and you would know to know good and evil. And then when Eve ate and she asked the man to eat with her, and he did, and God came to the man and said, what have you done? And he said, oh, it's the woman you gave me. Pass the buck. So here we go. We'll take what is the word of God and we'll twist it very subtly. Well, God did say that, but did he mean that? Was that the intention? When God said, don't eat it, he meant, don't eat it, you will die. And immediately, because Adam participated with Eve, he passed the buck. Oh, you know, my sister, Eve did it. It's her fault. There is nothing new under the sun. So if we look at the word made flesh, God said, let there be light. We look at the word made flesh, and we listen to this message, and we read our Bible, and we pray, and we understand what Jesus taught and how he operated in his ministry, and we understand what the apostolic fathers taught, okay, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, and the apostles laid the foundation, apostles and prophets, the Old Testament and the New Testament, disciples, the prophets of the Old Testament, and what was their doctrine? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets are in this. Okay, so it looks like Jesus. So if you can take this Jesus in these Gospels and the apostolic doctrines in the epistles, and you see somebody preaching, and in your spirit say, would Jesus be preaching that message? And most of what you hear being preached, Jesus does not preach. But I just want Jesus, who has bewitched. Where has his witchcraft come into the body of Christ? Oh, well, that's, if you really, you know, that's, truth is arbitrary. It's according to your opinion or your matrix, or no, truth is absolute. And Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, kind of scoffing, well, what is truth? And Jesus didn't answer him, because the truth, the word made flesh, the truth, the absolute truth was standing before him. And if he did not recognize it, he was blinded. It says in Thessalonians that if in the last days, people will not love the truth. And if they don't love the truth, what will happen? They will become deceived. And God will send them a strong delusion. And they will be operating in that because they didn't love the truth, because truth is love. And the gospel is all centered in that Christ was crucified for your sins and his blood was shed to give you a new life, to become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. There's no other gospel. There's no other name by which you may be saved. There's no other way out of your darkness and into eternal darkness, except that you come through that door, which is Jesus Christ, and you acknowledge that he is God, that Jesus is the light of the world. When God said, let there be light, that was Jesus. He's the light of the world. And the word became flesh. It says in 1 John and John 1. And the darkness has never overcome the light. If you walk in the light, you walk in through the blood of Jesus Christ. All your righteousness, all your good works, all your intellectual ascents, all your ambitions, all your accomplishments, your accolades, your merits, whatever they are nothing. Unless Jesus Christ is glorified. It says, in him, he who glories, it is written, let him glory in the Lord, that Jesus did this for me. This is my testimony, that he called me out of darkness into light, that he saved my soul, that I called out on his name, that I'm a miserable sinner and I was headed into the deepest, darkest pits reserved for the demons. And Jesus took my hand and saved me and is saving me. And I ask for forgiveness for my sins. I ask to forgive those who sinned against me, to help me walk in that, and that his will would be done. Complete surrender to his will. Complete surrender. My life is not my own anymore, but Christ is living in me. I am crucified, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me to will and do his good pleasure. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus.